Hi, and welcome to the Global Leadership Initiatives podcast for our members. We exist to develop excellence in leadership globally, and I'm really excited today to welcome one of our new consultants, Alex Tumbeck. And Alex is going to be talking today about her leadership journey. And so, Alex, just to say, first of all, welcome, and maybe just to get you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great. Hey, well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate it. My name is Alex Tumbeck, and I am of the millennial generation, which does play into how I approach leadership and what I talk about. My history is I was mentored by a woman who's been in learning and development for about 30 years, and it has evolved since just building trainings and building classroom sessions to really understanding what it takes now for leaders within our organizations to be successful. And one of the biggest things that I am trying to accomplish is understanding all five generations being in the workplace right now. So my learning and development consultant background has helped me apply all sorts of different methodologies into leadership development. However, my history is I did actually start as a safety specialist. So I am very familiar with all of the regulations and acts across Canada, as well as in the States with OSHA. And most recently, I have become an MBTI certified practitioner. I had informally been doing leadership sessions with those that are certified for the last couple of years, and now I have my certification as well. And I did put a little note at the bottom of my PowerPoint slide here about my leadership philosophy. And it is the foundation for what I talk about when we discuss the topic today for experiential learning and leadership. And it is listening with purpose, act with passion and integrity, be honorable, find solutions and not problems, and value experience.
That's great. And that's a great leadership philosophy. And I like that you begin with the statement, listen with purpose, active listening, and really getting to understand people, know who they are, because leadership is so much about relationship and valuing the people. Of course, we have to have competence, character, and credibility.
Absolutely.
To really, act as good leaders. So those are great statements, Alex. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
I just want to see if I can move your slides forward. Yeah, there we go. So next question is, what is experiential learning?
Well, experiential learning, I do have the actual concept that was put on paper in 1984, and it's the theoretical model of experiential learning is grounded in the humanistic and constructivist perspective, proposing that we are naturally capable to learn and that experience plays a critical role in knowledge construction and acquisition. In other words, learning occurs when someone creates knowledge through experiential transformations. This all means, typos and all, think about any moment in your life that you can recall a valuable lesson. It generally happens on a whim. You didn't intend to learn something brand new, and usually it's out of error. I think most people know when we make mistakes, people say, you know, it's where we can really learn is from our mistakes. And every experience we have as a human, we learn something from it. I particularly like to look back to children, and as we were children, we would learn cues from the adults around us. And as we grow, experience would teach us more and more. The one that I like to talk about when I'm explaining experiential learning is thinking for the first time about your parent or guardian when they told you not to touch a hot stovetop. And then we always hear that the kids still touched it anyway. And then you hear, well, I told you so. But the one thing they did was they learned from it. And if we want to fast forward to what this means now, it's how we end up learning and how can we embed this into our organizations, this particular style of learning to find more success. And it only makes sense that we capitalize on an already instinctual mechanism that we have. So as a consultant, I have a tendency to use experiential learning in two streams, training to develop the essential skills that are necessary to help a team get there within themselves and fostering that environment, as well as actually developing out training scenarios and programs to help bring experiential learning into the workplace.
That's great. Thanks so much.
if we want to switch to the next slide.
Yeah.
So this is slightly more updated, so I can give a little bit more background. Experiential learning is the process of learning through experience, and more specifically defined as learning through reflection on doing. So a daily activity everyone participates in, we're in a constant state of learning. We learn by doing and we learn by others doing. Well, essentially, go ahead, sorry.
No, keep going, Alex. You're doing great.
Awesome. So essentially what this means is if we cannot just drop leaders into experiential learning scenarios in organizations, you know, we know what it is, but we can't just assume that if we provide experiential learning that it will produce what we want it to, which is a positive outcome for us to be able to see the what ifs in a scenario. But an organization must first undergo its own change and build an environment that caters to a safe work environment, open communication, trust, and loyalty. So we need to prepare an environment to allow experiential learning to succeed. So this means not only training our current leaders, but our leaders of tomorrow. And so again, it's that twofold approach that we have to take, where we develop out the skills and foster the development of a positive work environment so people can trust each other. And then once we have that trust, allow for that safe space to be opened up and practice experiential learning in the workplace.
So Alex, you know, everything you're saying resonates. It's very powerful. And I know that when you and I met, we talked a little bit about your context, and it was really striking to me how you worked and have worked hard to build that environment of trust so that experiential learning almost becomes a natural disposition or something that people feel, you know, comfortable with. Can you just tell us a little bit, you know, as much as you feel comfortable, just sharing about kind of your context and how you've, you know, fostered, facilitated, developed trust, because I think that was a big theme that I picked up on as we were talking. And then the outflow of that trust, of course, the experiential learning and leadership development.
Absolutely. So where I work right now is actually an organization that is primarily First Nations here in Canada, and they have a very particular type of culture that I was very unfamiliar with. And so at the very beginning, when I was working with them, I really needed to understand, ask a lot of questions, and make sure that I valued who they were as people in my team, and make sure that I treat them the way that they wanted to be treated. So I want to bring out a really key point that we talk about. It's actually just been referenced recently that I've seen. We all know the golden rule, treat others how you want to be, or how they want to be, excuse me, how you want to be treated. And now we talk about taking it up to the next level of the platinum level. And it's the platinum rule of treating others how they want to be treated. Just because you feel that you can be treated a certain way, or that you want to be treated a certain way, it doesn't mean that everybody else in your team does. And so the context of how we developed out those teams was really getting to know each other, understanding what motivates each other, and allowing ourselves to get to know everyone on a personal level and not having any judgment with it. And once we build those relationships, and you know, they are friendships too, not to the degree that you do see in some places, but you value and respect them, which means that you feel more comfortable sharing information. And that's where we found success and growth in our team. And it developed this amazing positive environment with so much trust. You would have each other's backs up in any situation, and not because you have to, because you're paid to, but because you want to.
So Alex, you know, it's very powerful. If I was someone coming into your team, I'm new, I'm kind of a little bit hesitant because I don't know anyone, and I don't have that level of trust. How would you build that level of trust with me, and how would you bring me into the kind of the group, the in-group now that does have this kind of trust level and that I as an outsider am looking in on?
If you're brand new, it is challenging, and as I was, and if you are in the right mindset of saying, you know, I want to generate this environment, it's great, but really it's going to matter on how that group is going to do the introductions. as a leader of somebody, let's pretend I was inviting somebody else new into our group, you need to lead by walking the talk. So you need to share information and earn their trust. So it's not necessarily about them doing things to gain your trust. It's you needing to earn their trust. And once you have achieved that, they start to open up. People will start to open up and share their ideas. And with positive reinforcement of that activity, I mean, we're animals. It's no different. As long as you are providing that positive reinforcement and safe environment, that's how we can make them part of the team. And you wouldn't know that they were even gone for a little bit.
Okay.
And that they weren't even there before. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great. Okay. So yeah, just, I guess it's who's going to take the risk, right? Because risk and trust are kind of mutually interdependent. And so you're saying model the way, model the way, you show how to take that risk, you take that risk, and then others will feel comfortable doing that. And that's, of course, then when the cohesion within a team, within a group begins to occur.
Yes, that's great. That's a great way to round it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this question, I mean, I've been waiting through the interview here to get to this question. I had the opportunity to preview your questions. And, this is the one I wanted to ask you. Why is experiential learning important to the development of leadership or to leadership?
Absolutely. Well, experiential learning is an activity that you generally do within leadership. And it's not, like you could say, oh, it's experiential leadership and call it something like that. I would rather go with some of the more traditional concepts like transformational leadership. But the activity of experiential learning allows people to walk through different things before they actually happen. But there's also experiential learning when you do reviewing of the aftermath or going over lessons learned. And there's real life scenarios that you can use for experiential learning, and you create the scenario where you're able to do the what ifs. And the what ifs allow us to explore the different risks that might be in the risk matrix itself. And therefore, when we're looking at risk and we can go through each in detail, we're able to identify where our gaps may be and start to work as a team to close those gaps before it actually has an effect on our bottom line. So on this slide here, I have six different points in terms of leadership of why things are important. My apologies, I have a dog barking in the background.
No problem.
I love working at home. So when it comes to experiential learning and why it's important to leadership, we have to understand six fundamental truths about leadership and teamwork in general. And the first one I have is that experience matters. Leaders are made, they are not born. So all experiences that we have in our lives, they develop us and who we are. And I like to use it, and I use it a little bit later here. It's the lens of our life. It's how we see things that happen around us. And all of the experiences that we have will develop us. As an example, when you're working in an organization, I have leaders from my past where I say to myself, well, I'm never going to do that the way that they did it. But I also have leaders from my past that I say, that was amazing. That's a skill I want to embed in myself. So experience matters. Leaders are not born. And no one experiences an event in the same way. We've learned this when it comes to all of the shows, Law and Order, and things like that, that no one seems to experience an event in the same way. And the difference is we can harness that energy. We can harness that entire view on something when an event occurs and speak with different individuals. And it can help us build a better assessment for next time that the event takes place, because we'll be able to see what other people experienced if we are open to walking through experiential learning as a leader. And when it comes to individuals build their lens of life based on their experiences. So very similar to what we talked about in the first one, that experiences matter when it comes to leaders being made. But the individuals that we have in our team as well, everything that you are doing as a leader is impacting what your team members or future leaders are watching and taking in and building for themselves. In one of our sessions that we do with one of my workshops, we actually talk about developing out your leadership quilt. How did you get to where you are? And it takes into consideration some information that Steve Jobs passes by, where you have to connect the dots of your life. And the only way to do that is to look back. And you can see how you became the leader that you are, the person that you are, if you're reviewing your experiences that you've had over the course of your life. And we are not born having all of the answers, speaking about our lives. We gain them as we walk through different organizations, as we meet new people, and you won't know that somebody has impacted you right at that moment. You might have an understanding that they're probably going to do something for you in the future, but at that time, we don't know. And we're learning constantly to find more answers. And as we meet people, as we experience things, and we develop answers to questions, that's when we can start using that catalog of information and sharing it so that we have better success as we approach challenges in our future. And experiential learning fosters transformational leadership. So I'm sure most people that might be listening to this have read a book on becoming a transformational leader or servant leadership or any sort of innovative leadership that they believe is most successful in this day and age, which I believe as well. And experiential learning fosters this. So from transformational leadership, it's about mentoring and allowing people to discover things on their own and working together as teams and bringing self-worth to people. Well, experiential learning allows people to be able to critically think about issues or challenges and review it before it happens. It's a place to make mistakes. And that fosters that transformational leadership where you can develop mentoring from it. You can do coaching. Those are all types of experiential learning. And that fosters those that want to perform using transformational leadership. And then finally, I think most people are familiar with this line. It's a fundamental truth. The two brains are better than one. And they will see those experiences in different ways and be able to apply that information in different ways. And it'll always help. If you are trying to figure out an answer to an issue, having two brains and seeing things with different lenses from past experiences, it will help you come to the conclusion that you need to for a challenge before it actually occurs.
Great. Great. You now have some evidence here to support some of the ideas that you've been sharing, Alex, and maybe you could just take us through these three blocks here.
Absolutely. So this evidence is coming from the Association for Talent Management or Talent Development, excuse me. And they did a paper in 2016 about it. And they found through studies that organizations that use experiential learning or learning by doing, running scenarios, mentoring, coaching, to develop leaders at both the frontline and senior executive levels, they're more likely to report both learning effectiveness and success. And the three things that they noted within this article is how high-performing firms were about three times more likely than lower-performing firms to use experiential learning for both frontline and executive-level leaders. Mm. So the high-performing firms have already embedded experiential learning into their organizations, and they're finding that it's showing their performances better than those that did not incorporate it. When it comes to the second block here, we talk about high performance firms, and they invest in designing and managing robust experiential leadership opportunities. So again, these are the organizations that have developed out mentorship, coaching, walking through scenario bases and doing what ifs within a team. It's a round table, if you will, and allowing every member of a team to be able to participate. And therefore, you are growing those leaders internally, which, depending on who you speak with, there's several theorists out there that believe that the best leaders, those that have proven to be high-performing leaders in some of the top organizations in the States, as a matter of fact, that they are homegrown leaders. They're people that have worked at the front line, at the very bottom of the food chain at organizations, and come to the top and are now running the organization. So they talk about investing in those particular leadership opportunities and those robust plans. And the last piece of evidence that they gave us is that lower performing firms, learning designers focused entirely on classroom e-learning programs. As an e-learning developer, as a learning and development consultant in general, this one really speaks to me. And the fact that organizations forget sometimes the benefit of training and simulation and role play and round tables. All of these things are fantastic ways to invest in your teams and into your employees and develop efficiencies. And when we talk about what they tend to focus on, it's how can I get people through training as fast as possible? I know they need it. And the easiest way to do that is a classroom or an e-learning program, but there's really no support to try and ensure that people are using that information effectively when they go back to the real world. I don't know how many times I've developed a classroom session and I get people very invigorated and excited because classroom sessions are necessary. It's not like you're taking those away. But then there's no programs in place after the fact to manage more experiential learning and helping foster those environments for our organizations. So we need to develop robust plans that are outside of the classroom session. And we need to create the aftermath so that they're effective within an organization.
So that's great, you know, Alex. And of course, at the universities I teach at, when we're teaching leadership, we teach the theory, but then we also want them to have the kind of the peripatetic, the experiential learning. And so we actually work with community partners to develop leadership opportunities, team opportunities, where teams actually engage and develop a meaningful project, and then reflect on that and present on that, and we discuss it, because I think it's so important. Leadership is not just something, as you've highlighted here, that a person can learn in a classroom or even primarily in a classroom. They need that. They need the knowledge frameworks, but then they also need the experience. Yeah, absolutely. So that's great.
Absolutely.
And I know that you're going to be one of our consultants who's going to really help organizations to develop that experiential piece and the mentoring and coaching piece, so that their learning journey, their leadership learning journey, becomes far more effective and far more ingrained and embedded. So I think that's really exciting, and I'm glad you talked about this. So as we kind of round it off, maybe you could just talk a little bit, Alex, about how this applies to leadership. And you've been doing that all the way through, so perhaps this is more of a recap, but just to to work through this idea in practice, as Harvard Business Review would say.
So transformational leadership, how we get there, what creates it, is just this simple diagram on here. Focuses on running a team using communication, teamwork. And then if you allow for that fostering of ideas and that positive workplace, we generate more ideas. People come to the table wanting to find solutions to problems versus generating problems. I don't know how many times I've sat and listened to teams sit around a table and all they do is say, well, that won't work. That doesn't work because of this. What I know from that is that the leadership that perhaps is running those teams has a bigger focus on poking holes in ideas versus fostering the build of ideas. So it's kind of a reversal when you use transformational leadership. It's idea generating, not hole poking. And I am definitely one of those types of individuals where I would put out into the world an idea and I want somebody to tear it apart. And that works for me. And that goes back to that platinum rule that we were talking about, is to treat others how they want to be treated. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody wants to do that. And when it comes to transformational leadership, it's recognizing what is going to be the most a positive way to speak to your team members so that you can look at things in that pleasant, positive nature where people will run together as a team and they build off of each other's ideas, and it's not who does better and turning it into competition, which sometimes gets used inappropriately in organizations, pitting teammates against each other. And once we have fostered that environment where we're idea generating, we are coming up with different things down the pipe to be able to solve some of the challenges within our organization or perhaps in our economic climate, that's when we start seeing people feel fulfilled with themselves. They are adding, they are contributing to the organization. And all the while, that leader that they have is just giving them all of the things they need to hear to continue to run with those ideas. And that fulfillment will generate loyalty. And we're really wanting to focus on fulfillment and loyalty because that is what will keep people in the organization. So we want to generate fulfillment, create that loyalty, create those bonds, and people will feel less obligated to hide the concerns that they have and actually share them. And so that's when we can start really seeing some problems getting solved.
So it's a very integrated cycle that you have here, Alex. And, you know, it all fulcrums on leadership, effective leadership. We know that the leadership really creates the climate and the culture, but goes back to what you spoke about at the beginning, which is, you know, this idea of designing an organization where there's a sense of trust and people feel comfortable sharing their ideas. And that's a leadership issue. And then, of course, absolutely, each of these other pieces tie together. So yeah, I can see it's really becoming clear to me through this interview. Your philosophy of leadership is very clear, and it's great. I really appreciate the way you've tied these threads together and woven them together. So ROI, picking up on that, I almost sense that this is going to continue that trajectory, but you want to just talk us through this real quick?
It is. I will explain this. It does say basically the same thing that I was just talking about, but those types of individuals that like to focus on, well, how does this impact the bottom line? It sounds like what you're saying, you know, it's pretty fluffy in some cases. I've heard that word used before. You know, times have changed. So our ROI, when we look at leadership back in the 50s and 60s, is you went to work, you worked for your 8 hours a day, and then you came home and that was it. And you were loyal to the organizations you were working with. It didn't matter if you had different ideas necessarily, as long as you maintained and completed the role that you were required to do. That was all that was necessary, because we could turn off work at 5 o'clock when we left. Now we can't do that. We're expected to be available all the time. We're working and doing multiple things at once, and things have changed. So we all know that if the climate has changed for what we are required to do within an organization, it is not surprising to see that leadership has to change. And what we are looking at is, well, what does this mean to the bottom line? How, if we change and we go down this path of fluffy transformational leadership, I love it, and I am not much for fluff either, but this type of approach can be challenging for some individuals. You want to be, in essence, allowing employees to be part of that change will help individuals go through this process of feeling of self-worth and trust and loyalty. But the two that really matter when you make the shift are at the very end here, and that's the increased productivity and decreased turnover. So yes, we have these five other components that happen when you have transformational leadership that we talked about before with the previous slide, but it's the last two that we can see over and over again that people don't want to leave the unique organization that they are part of that allows them to feel that they're actually contributing. And it's an intrinsic motivation. One of the sessions that we do talks about extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation and finding out what will keep employees engaged in a workplace that they don't want to leave. And those things are incorporated when you use transformational leadership and using experiential learning to allow people to really be find success within the organization that they're in. You know, North America, I'll end on this slide with this, is that North America, we define ourselves by what we do. When you walk into a room and you're meeting new people, the first things that you usually ask are, well, what do you do for a living? And we reply back. It's what we do. It's how we define ourselves. So if we can, again, harness that energy that people have about their self-worth and organizations and allow them to feel that they are part of something bigger, trust, loyalty, then we will see that increased productivity and the decreased turnover.
And it's huge. You know, a lot of work has been done now, Alex, just on the cost of decreased turnover, or the ROI of decreased turnover. It's very expensive to replace someone, to hire them, to train them,
and training.
the cost is astronomical. And of course, we know that productivity is a huge issue, employee engagement and productivity. So I think those two areas, as you've highlighted, are pivotal. But they don't exist in a vacuum. And everything you've talked about then along this trajectory here and previously helps us to see that this is where the ROI is going to be leveraged. When we lead effectively in the types of ways that you've described, because we've learned how to lead well through experiential learning, we then see this increased ROI in our organization. So very, very important lesson, very important philosophy that undergirds that lesson. Very important process that you're describing. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say to really note on that, we don't need to go back to the slide or anything, but you did hit the nail on the head when you talked about it being a process. This is not something that happens overnight. This takes time to make change happen in an organization. I realize it sounds like a pretty repetitive thing to say, you know, self-worth, trust, loyalty, positive work environment, but that takes time to build. So it's important to just keep the eye on the goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And time, I think process, you know, a lot of people think leadership's an event. It's not. It's a process. You build credibility over time as people learn to trust you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, we are nearing the end of our time here together. And so how do we, my next question to you, Alex, that I have here is, can you explain the process of how to incorporate experiential learning into a work environment?
Absolutely. What I'll do is we will stay on this slide for like 2 seconds and then we'll pop to the next one. Okay. What I really want to talk to is that experiential learning and transformational leaders, we are trying to find that sweet spot for success. And to do that, like I mentioned, and like you just said, there is a process. So what is it that we're looking for? What do we need to do to move our organizations from a good organization? Most people think they are in a good organization. They know that there's things that they can do to enhance it to a great organization. And to do that, the process is pretty simple. That's just on the next slide here. And it's about first going in and doing a needs assessment with an organization and looking at, well, what do we have outstanding right now to create that culture shift? What are going to be our organizational hurdles? So perhaps there's already some issues going on with particular groups. And it can be the silo effect. They're operating not all holistically within an organization, or there's a toxic environment going on within a team. Every organization is going to be different. But the thing that stays the same, no matter what, is you do have to build that blended approach to allow for a culture shift. So that means you go through classroom trainings, you do sit down. We're talking about how can we change what is happening and what are the unique attributes that will help develop that plan. And often it starts with listening. So we build that blended approach to allow for the culture shift. And that's when we start to invigorate the work environment with new communication techniques. So this is going to be a process in itself because we have to build trust and loyalty at this level. If we don't accomplish that in the first two steps, you will not accomplish the rest of it. So those are going to be the measurables that come out of those two steps is, have we created an environment where we are seeing people be more open with communication and trust each other? Has there been a culture shift to inviting change? And change is not easy for people. And one of the next steps that we want to do to maintain that work environment and maintain the changes that have been put into place is we have to develop sustainable coaching programs. So yes, you've had your classroom sessions, you are working on specific skills. Now we need to start developing coaching programs. And that's not for just your rock stars. You have to look at the organization as a whole. Everything is holistic. And then once we've developed those coaching and mentorship programs, additional leadership skills, opportunities for people to put their toes in and dip and do a little test of leadership, that's when we start to create transformational leaders. You can have effective leaders. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to hit that level 5 leadership and be the full-blown transformational leader that a lot of organizations attribute their success to. And lastly, develop full experiential learning opportunities to develop leaders. So the key words here, it is develop leaders, yes, at the executive level, but also creating programs that allow people that are your future leaders to have some practice in handling real life experiences and being part of those roundtable sessions, the what ifs. Theory is great. Application and experience is where people are going to learn the most so that they can apply that later. Because everyone, like I said, takes away different experiences, even when we're all looking at the exact same scenario.
That's great. All right. So so maybe we can wrap it up with this slide, Alex.
I will. As
our time. Yep. It's been really great to kind of get a handle on this vital component of leadership development.
Absolutely. And yet, like you said, we can wrap it up with this one. It's a great slide to end on here. And it's about creating the environment through traditional training methods. So we do use traditional training methods to get there and teach skills. And these are some of the concepts that you can do within a classroom setting to allow people to feel comfortable with that new type of environment. If you just pluck this right into an organization at the very beginning, you're probably not going to see success in change management within the culture. And we go through learning from experience, sharing ideas, collaborating together, scenarios and role play, unique and entertaining activities. It's not always a direct translation that helps people have their light bulbs go on. But we use entertaining activities to try and get our points across. And then learn skills to help empower leaders to make a culture shift and empower your other employees as well. Empowerment for all within an organization is key to seeing success in this type of leadership. Don is that from Steve Jobs here, and it doesn't make sense to hire smart people and then tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. And if you embody that quote in everything that you do as a leader and realize the value that people can have, the experiences that they have can impact the success of visions that you may have.
That's great, Alex. I really appreciate your approach here, and it's been great to work through this with you. I'm looking forward to us perhaps developing this into one of our online university certificates, this process, and you could teach it then as a lesson, and then maybe we can build some real-time scenarios. We'll have to look at that. But Alex, thank you so much for sharing your philosophy of leadership development, and experiential learning, and how the two relate to each other. I think the big words for me today that have emerged and continue to emerge in my interactions with you is trust, the need for leaders to build trust, to model the way, and then this idea of sharing ideas. I think that seems for you to resonate a lot. It's something that you really believe strongly in, and I'm not sure if that's a result of your context or your training or both, but it's really, really important to empower people with the sense that their ideas matter and to create forums where they can share those ideas. Because by doing that, we learn from each other, but we also Absolutely. Learn as we analyze those ideas together. Yeah. So Alex, great to have you. And I just want to say at Absolutely. The end of our, at the end of our time together, that I really, really appreciate the time you've invested here, not just because of the time you gave, but it's your birthday today, and you took time away from that special day just to be with us and our listeners. So happy birthday to you, and I hope it's a phenomenal rest of your day today. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you so much.